John 14. How many are here on Sunday night? No, yeah, Sunday night. Raise your hand. We were talking about a very important message on judgment, justice, and mercy. We're talking about that. It's a very important message, and if you didn't get that, you should get that message. Very important message. We'll be tonight in John 14. One of the things I just want to say that I didn't get to in the message, but it's important along with that message was we said that judgment and justice has parameters, has bounds, has jurisdiction. And in that, I want to say that's one of the definitions you could define gossip as. Gossip is just you involving yourself and talking about things that you have no jurisdiction in. And you don't need to put in your two cents. You don't need to tell somebody else your two cents about what somebody else is doing. You don't need to condemn somebody when you don't have the power to do it. You've not been given it by God. And you say, well, I just need to, if I feel that way, I'm just going to say it. Well, then confess it to God that it's sin. And if you can't talk to a person directly, as the Bible says to do, you go to them directly and talk to them face to face. If you can't do that, if you're not strong enough or Christian enough, then don't say anything. And be strong enough not to say anything. And if I don't have jurisdiction in somebody's life where they didn't ask me my advice or anything, you know, unsought advice is seldom followed and often resented. If somebody doesn't give me jurisdiction to give them advice, unless God does like a prophet in the Old Testament tells me, you go tell them this, then I'll do that. I'll go to people and tell them God doesn't want you doing this or this is wrong or whatever. I don't have to put my two cents and my opinion on everybody's life and everything they're doing. I find that if they ask me, I'll talk to them. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I don't give post-decision counseling. I just don't. You know, I have two options. One, I totally agree with you. Or two, you hate me. The decision's already made. People want verification, and you should have made the decision if it wasn't already verified. And if you didn't know that was God's will. So I usually don't give post-decision counseling. A lot of people do that. A lot of people ask for post-decision counseling. I just don't do it because wise people have always said don't do it, and I've also found that are you going to undo it if I say it's a bad idea? It's not a bad idea. It's a good idea. Okay. I don't want a brother offended. It's hard to be one than a strong city. So jurisdiction is important and understanding those things. And wise people give jurisdiction to good people in their lives. And they say, you know what, if you see me going astray, come tell me. That's giving somebody jurisdiction. Or seeking counsel has given somebody jurisdiction in your life. Wise people give jurisdiction. But that's another sermon. Tonight we're in Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, number 4. And let's see. Over the last 3 weeks, who can tell me something that we've learned, some reason we're not supposed to let our hearts be troubled? Why can our hearts not be troubled? They were looking at Jesus leaving them going where they couldn't see him anymore. And Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. Who can give me any reason why their heart shouldn't be troubled? Yes. Okay. All right. The return of Jesus. All right. Anybody else who said, who knows a reason why I can let not your heart be troubled? Anybody else? Any of the reasons we've gone through so far? Anybody? Yes. Timmy? Pressure's on. Okay. Got a home in heaven. Good. All right. There's a lot of reasons, and he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. We're going to be in verse 15 here in this chapter as we're going through it a little bit. And we're given another reason why our hearts should be troubled, and that is because the Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Good. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight and why you can not let your heart be troubled because of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word and teach it tonight. And I pray we'd understand what the word of God says. I pray the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, Lord. We have attacks of Satan. We have confused minds in our nation, Lord, and in our area. And Lord, especially on the subject of the Holy Spirit, and I pray tonight that you'd help us understand just this corner of the doctrine and this part of not letting our hearts be troubled because of the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, may we rightly divide, may you speak through it. And the Holy Spirit we're talking about, Father, has got to be the one who, as we'll read later in the chapter, leads and guides us into all truth, Lord. We pray he'd do that. May the Holy Spirit be profoundly at work tonight. And we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Very few doctrines in the Bible are more misunderstood than the Holy Spirit. The biggest reason is because most people don't have enough spiritual knowledge of the Bible and spiritual discernment to know the difference between the Holy Spirit and an emotion. That's the number one problem. They think an incredible feeling of emotional swelling that comes from music and other things. But that, by the way, happens the same thing at a secular concert. Go look at the facial expression on someone at a love song concert, and they are doing the exact same thing with their hands and with their emotions as in a church service many times. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's just a fact. And they feel some spirit. I want to say that because people can't tell the difference in the Holy Spirit, which the Bible tells a lot about the Holy Spirit. They base it on experience, and it's all about the experience they had at the Holy Spirit, not on Scripture. And they end up like the Corinthian church who has spiritual gifts everywhere in a disaster and is all confusion. And God says, God's not the author of this. And this is all confusion. Because of the misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit, I think people don't enjoy the Holy Spirit. And John 14 is one of the chapters in the Bible that tells a lot about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, 16. There's other chapters, Romans chapter 8 and others certainly talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And he's talked about very specifically. We need to understand a little about the Holy Spirit because Jesus talks about him here. He said, I'm going away, but it's important that I go away because if I don't come, the Holy Spirit's not coming. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to help you. And it's very, very important. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is is right there with you, and he's going to eventually be inside of you. And that's, of course, very important there. He says, I got to go away. And then you go forward a little bit here. Let's see if I can find the verse. And chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, we're going to find out that's the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus says, I've got to go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come to you. And so I've got to go away. It's very important that I go away. Now, they don't want him to go away. He's their Savior, their Lord, their best friend, their master, rabbi, teacher, with them all day, and all of a sudden he's saying, I'm going away. But he says, I've got to go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't used to be inside of believers, but it was going to change here. Jesus says, he says, the Holy Spirit dwelleth with you, back here in John 14. We just read that, but shall be in you. There's a big difference between with and in, and it's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He says he dwelleth with you, but he's going to be in you. Go back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And again, you can just listen along as I read these verses. It's fine. John chapter 7. And again, you don't have to turn to all these verses. You can listen along as I read them. And he says, verse 37, the last days on that gray of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit when it's capitalized like that, which they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So now we see the Holy Spirit wasn't given yet. Why? Because Jesus wasn't glorified. The glorification of Jesus Christ is the resurrection. So, real simply, remember when Jesus died, all of a sudden the veil in the temple was ripped in half? That was because there is no way God can make man his temple and dwell in man, like in the Holy of Holies. There was a curtain, and that was a sin in the flesh, the curse on man's flesh and sin. And so until that was torn away by Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, the Holy Spirit couldn't dwell inside man because man was a fallen creature, and they had a the offense between God and man wasn't finished. So God can never have the Holy Spirit dwell in people. So the phrase in the Bible was the Holy Spirit came upon people, but never came into people. And of course, we see that clearly in John chapter 14 there. It said, he dwelleth with you, but he shall be in you. In this verse in John 7, it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake ye of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is not living inside of you yet, but he's going to. He's going to dwell inside of you. He's going to indwell you, but right now he's just with you. In other words, a Christian who had God's power, for example, the disciples, when Jesus gave them power, the power of the Spirit would rest upon them, but the Holy Spirit was not living inside of them. He couldn't yet. So the Holy Spirit was not yet given, but yet you'll find in all of the Gospels, Jesus gave them power to go cast out demons and do many miracles. They had power, but it was upon them. It wasn't inside of them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And I'll just show you a couple passages out of the Old Testament. Every time in the Old Testament the Holy Spirit came, that basically it always says he came upon them. And I'll just read you out of 1 Samuel. You don't have to turn to these verses. You can write them down if you'd like. If you really want to, you could. But 1 Samuel, and I'm going to read just a couple verses here. Chapter 10, verse 10. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And this is chapter 11, verse 6. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings. And then a good verse is chapter 16 and verse 13 of 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed David, him, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Big difference. One, when the Holy Spirit indwells you, we find the Holy Spirit is in Jesus' place. We're going to read those verses in a second here. I'm going to go away, the Holy Spirit will come unto you, he says. He'll say that in a lot of ways, but he said, I'm coming back to you, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's a Trinity. And so now when we get the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Holy Spirit is called the earnest of our salvation. The earnest is a down payment. If you're going to, it's basically, I give you earnest money until the transaction's done. And the Holy Spirit now comes inside of us. And Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Once the Holy Spirit indwells you, he doesn't just come and go. You're indwelt. You can never be possessed again. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You now have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, you can quench that Spirit. You can grieve the Spirit, the Bible says. You can do a whole bunch of things to make the Holy Spirit very quiet. You can make him so you won't even hear his voice. You can make it so he's grieved. You can make him offended at you. You can do 1,000 things where you won't be full of the Holy Spirit, but you'll be indwelt by the Spirit. And there's a big difference between indwelling and fullness of the Spirit. Okay? There's a big difference. I indwell this room. I don't fill this room. You follow? If you are this room here, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He wants to fill you. Okay, and I can't teach on how to be filled with the Spirit. There's in this message, but what the point is Jesus says, I've got to go away. Don't let your heart be troubled because the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to indwell you. So just a few thoughts here. and you know what? It'd be great to have the Holy Spirit with you. They have the Holy Spirit with them, but indwelling is way better. Amen. Can you imagine if I had somebody who had to go with me and they had to be with me? It was very important. They were absolutely vital that they were with me all the time. They were taking care of me. Let's say I was taking a trip across country, and they were going to pay for the whole trip. They were going to protect me. They were going to make sure that I had money for everything. I didn't have a wallet on me. They'd take care of everything. And they said, but you know what? I'm going to be with you, but I'm not going to be in your car. Let's say they're driving in a car behind me. Let's say they're sitting on top of the car. It's all nice. It's good. I'm glad they're with me. But I'd rather be in the car with me. I can talk to them. I know they're there. You ever gone on a trip with somebody, or somebody's supposed to follow you, and you lose them? One of the worst things in the world is bad followers. I have found, no matter how slow I drive, there are some people who cannot follow you. And they mystically get every light red. And let everybody cut in between you, and they follow too far behind. And so you could lose them. You'd be worried about it. But the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in you. And it'll be a wonderful thing when that happens. So what would the Holy Spirit do? Why would it be so great to have the Holy Spirit? Why would their hearts not be troubled? Back in John 14, we'll go there and look at that. First of all, why is the Holy Spirit coming? Why will that keep their hearts from being troubled? Because he would be the person of God in you. John 14. One of the things about the Holy Spirit, and it's so important about understanding the doctrine, and it kind of changes somebody's perspective when they get this, is most Christians speak of the Holy Spirit as a power and as a entity, and they speak of him as an it, but the Bible speaks of him as a him. He's a person. We have three parts of the Trinity: the Father, he's a person, we think of him as a person; the Son, we think of him as a person; and the Holy Spirit, and we think of him as a power. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He gets grieved. Acts chapter 5 says, why'd you lie to the Holy Spirit? You lied to him. He's a person. And so when you go here, there's a living person inside of you. And you see that in John chapter 14, verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And so we see who he is there. He's going to come, that he, the Spirit, the Comforter, may abide with you forever. Now watch the pronoun he here. I remember talking to Jehovah's Witness, and he said, the Holy Spirit is not God. He's not a person. He's a power. I said, do me a favor, read John 14, and circle the word he every time it's talking about the Holy Spirit. You have a hard time saying it's not a he, even in their made-up Bible. It still says he all over the place. And verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, capital S, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice it's a person. You go forward a little bit here in verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see again, he. Chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Chapter 16, end of verse 7. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Watch verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. You getting the idea? Okay. I mean, I don't need to keep reading verses. He's a he. He's a person. Understand, I want you to understand, you have a person living inside of you. Matter of fact, the same thing that demonic possession is the same thing that Holy Spirit indwelling is. And fullness of the Spirit is fullness of demonic possession. It's you have given yourself over, be filled with the Spirit. And so understand, you have a person living inside of you. That's why it says don't grieve him. Why? Everywhere you go, you take him. Everything you watch, he watches. Everything you hear, he hears. Everything you say, he's a part of. You are sitting there with a person who's experiencing everything you're experiencing. Now, if Pastor Byron was with you and you wouldn't do it, and if your mom was with you and you wouldn't do it, then you might have to wonder, you got the Holy Spirit. That's his name. His first name is Holy. Gives you an indication what he's like. Okay? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And so understand that you have a person inside of you. Now, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Understand, it makes you accountable. However, that's not what he's talking about here. That's just Christians in America watching, listening to so many bad things. They should be under that impression. However, these disciples needed a friend and a comforter. And Jesus was leaving. They needed somebody with them who can help them along the way. And so we see this. And so that's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to dwell in them. There's an obvious interaction of the Trinity because he says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm coming to you. It'll be the Spirit. Now, the wording is very confusing here, and I've had this chapter memorized, the entire chapter. I've had it memorized since I was 16 years old, probably. So it's like 5 years. And so the Holy Spirit, I shouldn't say that, he's in me. But the Holy Spirit here, the wording is very confusing because he's going to start switching pronouns. And he'll say, I'm going to go away and the Holy Spirit's going to come into you, so I'll be with you. I'm going to come to you again. It'll be the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Watch. I'll show you here. Verse 16. Watch the Trinity interactions here. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Actually, let me just take it. That he may abide with you forever. Now, figure out in verse 16, who's going to abide with you forever? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Got to look kind of carefully. Is it Jesus? Is it the Father? Is it the Holy Spirit? Go down and look at verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 17, end of the verse. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Okay, who's going to come into them? Verse 16, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Who's going to be in him? Who's going to come? The Holy Spirit. Read the next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Who's coming? So you see, it's constantly saying, I'm leaving, guys, but I'm going to be there. The Holy Spirit's coming. What about you? I just told you that. Don't you remember back in verse 9? Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we'll believe you. That'll be enough. He says, have I been so long with you so long time, Philip, and hast thou not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father also. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Trinity is all over this chapter. And Jesus is just switching who he's talking about over and over because they're all interacting in this process. And they're all one. And so he says, I'm leaving you guys, but I'm coming back. It'll be the Holy Spirit. Well, where are you going to be? I'll be in you. I'm the Holy Spirit. There's one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm in my Father. My Father's in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father's going to be there in you. I'm going to be in you. Watch. He'll say again, who's going to be in them? verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Abode's where you live. Who's going to make their abode there? The Father and Jesus in this verse. It's going to be a crowded house in your body. Because Jesus keeps on saying, I'm going to be with you. Me and my Father are going to come abide in you. I'll be with you. I'll come and dwell in you. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you. Me and my Father will be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be there. Because he keeps on telling us that. Now, very specifically through the entire Bible in the New Testament, Jesus begins to say, the Holy Spirit's the one who dwells in you. Understand, each part of the Trinity has a different job. The Father is the one we pray to. Jesus is our Savior. We don't trust the Holy Spirit to save us in a sense because he's the workman. He's the one who is among us and lives in us and dwells in us. And we'll read some more verses. But understand, it's all one God. Amen. But they all do different parts. I have a body, soul, and a spirit. They're all mine. My body does not fellowship with God. My spirit does. My soul is what thinks and is intellectual and talks to you and fellowships with you. My flesh, the only fellowship it can have is shake your hand. There's different parts, but it's all me. And God is the same way. And so the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell in them. I want to say this. You you get it, guys, don't worry. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. It's important I go away because I'm going to send him to you. And everything you need will be inside of you. All the guidance, all the power, all the companionship to understand the scriptures, to be led in your life. Everything you'll need. It'll be just like I'm with you. Because remember how I guided you and taught you the scriptures and showed you what to do and did miracles and was your friend and comforted you. Remember everything I did for you guys? The Holy Spirit's going to come do all that. And he's going to dwell in each one of you. And one of you can be in India and one of you can be in Egypt and one of you can be in Jerusalem. And each one of you will have me with you. Because the Holy Spirit's going to dwell in you. So don't let your heart be troubled. You're going to have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so he said you're going to have that. Number one, the Spirit would do something good for you and you wouldn't have to be troubled because he would be the person of God inside of you. Number two, he is the comforter. Now, this is great. He doesn't say he's going to comfort you, which would be great. He will comfort them. He says he's going to comfort them. But it goes farther than that. He doesn't say the Holy Spirit is going to come and comfort you. He says he is the comforter. It's his name. And he says this many, many times here, back in 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter who, other than Jesus. Jesus has been the comforter. Now he's going to give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, the Comforter. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will do all these things. I'm sorry, 15:26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you with the Father, he shall do all these things for you. And of course, we just keep on seeing the verses. He's called the Comforter. The Comforter. Listen. If you say, I don't need a comforter, you're lying through your teeth in this world. Amen. This world, you need a comforter. You need a comforter. With the relationship problems and the health problems and the chaos of the news and the attack of Satan on the world, with all of your enemies out there, with the bad news from the doctor, with the government, with everything that's going on in the world, you need a comforter. You need a comforter. And that comfort, especially these people would, because they're going to be beaten. They're going to be attacked. They're going to be persecuted. They're going to be alone. They're going to fail Jesus and need a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. chapter 14, verse 27, the Holy Spirit brings peace. Verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Comforter brings peace. I want to say, having the Holy Spirit inside of you and then having him fill you, you get peace. Matter of fact, I think the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. Peace in a chaotic world. Peace in storms. Peace in financial worries. Peace in chaos in the world. You have a Holy Spirit who brings peace and comfort. And those who really serve God and those who are really doing something for God and those who Satan's really attacking, let me tell you, you've got a comforter and it's a lot better and a lot cheaper and has no side effects than Prozac. You've got a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And maybe before you go and panic and before you start popping pills and before you get too stressed out, why don't you try snuggling up the Holy Spirit and find love and joy and peace in God's presence? Trust me, he's not stressed out. He can handle it. And the times in my life, and there's a lot of times in life where God just gives you strength to make it, but there's times in your life you'll face where you don't have the strength to make it. Especially when you're fighting Satan, when you're in a spiritual war. And those times in my life, I've said, God, I don't got any more. I'm going to tell you, you will find the Spirit of God comforting your heart with a comfort that cannot be explained, where you still don't have the answers, but you have the comfort you need to make it. And the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to send you a comforter. It's going to be pretty scary. And he'll do that. The word comforter used here in this, these verses is parakletos. It's a Greek word. parakletos. We get a Greek word that comes from, or English, bunch of big English words that comes from that. Paramedic, for example. That's the one that comes to you. the word comes from, the word parakletos, it means one who comes beside you or a consoler. He comes right up to you when you need comfort and he's there beside you. He comes to you. A paratrooper goes to somewhere. And the comforter is the one who comes beside you, comforts you. The Holy Spirit will come beside you. You guys are going to need some comfort, and he'll do that. And why else would the heart not be troubled? Number three is the Holy Spirit will help you do God's work. Boy, Jesus kept on saying, do this miracle. And by the way, when they couldn't do it, Jesus would go do it for them. And he says, guys, you'll be able to keep on doing the work. You'll be able to keep on doing the miracles and the soul winning and the witnessing and helping the people. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. And for just some things he'll do. First of all, he's going to teach you the scriptures. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things. I don't think I have time to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but it says, understanding cometh by the Spirit. In one spot, in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. They cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned. Understanding the Holy Spirit will go in and guide us into truth. And the Holy Spirit has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the spiritual things of the Bible, you can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher of the Bible. A preacher can get up here and preach you every fact in the Bible. You can go to a church service and hear them teach, and you can intellectually understand what they said, but you will not understand the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit's got to be there. Either you got to have the Holy Spirit inside of you speaking to you, or the preacher's got to have the Holy Spirit upon him, preaching through him. The Holy Spirit's a teacher of the Bible. You can go into some backwood church in the middle of the country with no PA system and nothing fancy, and or in the middle of a mission field and have nothing there that shows anything great, and a preacher is not well educated and hadn't gone to seminary, but he's full of the Holy Spirit and is reading the Bible, and you can learn a whole bunch about God. You can go to somebody who can teach, who's the greatest teacher, knows every method of teaching and every oratorical ability, and that man's not been full of Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's not speaking through him, and you can't understand anything about God. It's the Holy Spirit who's a teacher. That's why we need to pray that God's Spirit is in these services. That's why an unsaved person will stare at you blankly when you say, you don't get to heaven because you're good, and they don't even understand it. The Holy Spirit's got to quicken them, got to teach them and say, you are lost. You need to be saved. You can't earn your way to heaven. But a man can't teach that. The Holy Spirit's got to help us understand these things. First thing he'll do is he'll teach you the scriptures. Number two, he will bring the things you need to remembrance. At the end of verse 26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever is said unto you. I want to say this. You won't experience that until you decide to do something for God. Very important you understand the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61:1, Luke 164. It's Luke 4:18, I think it is. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to preach acceptable year of the Lord, to do all these things to help people. The silliest thing in the world is what happened in 1 Corinthians. What is today is people go blah, 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 and blah, 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 roll around and scream and do all kinds of crazy things. And I've filled the Spirit. Look what the Spirit did for me. And the Holy Spirit's going, I want to fill you to use you to help people. What are you doing? Oh, I filled the Spirit. I felt a tingle down my spine and I had hilarious laughter and I fell down and collapsed. And the Holy Spirit says, there was a lost person sitting next to you I really wanted you to witness to. There is a person with a broken heart on the other side of you. I wanted to speak through you to talk to them. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to bind up broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to the captives. The Holy Spirit is not for self-edification, for you to feel good about yourself. Holy Spirit says, and by the way, when you start doing the work of God and trying to help people, you will find verses you didn't have memorized coming out of you. You'll find wisdom you didn't have coming out of you. Because the Holy Spirit's speaking. Because the Holy Spirit does that. That's the Holy Spirit's for. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is a lunch pail part of God. He says, I'm going out and working. Let's go. Let's go work. Let's go change some lives. Let's go win some souls. Let's go make a difference. Let's go comfort some broken-hearted people. Let's go help some people. Let's go teach the Bible to somebody. Not so you can sit here and say, I filled the Spirit 25 years ago, and I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I can just feel it. And what are you doing with it? That's nice. It's like somebody walking up and say, here's $1 billion. Go give it to people who need fed. And 25 years later, you're saying, somebody gave me $1 billion. I got $1 billion to make. Aren't I amazing? I have $1 billion. $1 billion I have. This man gave me $1 billion. $1 billion. I'm amazing. He gave me $1 billion because I'm a really good person. And he gave me $1 billion. And I still have it. And God's saying, I give you the Holy Spirit to go do something. Get up and go help somebody. Go change the world. Go bring revival. Go win a soul. Go comfort somebody. Go raise some godly kids. Go make a difference. Go win somebody to Christ. Quit sitting there saying, I'm full of the Spirit so I can feel good and roll around and fall down. That's not what he's for. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's what they did. And they went and preached the gospel and saw people saved. And it's what he's for. He brings things to remembrance. The Holy Spirit uses people. He brings things which they need to remember about what Jesus said, to write the scriptures, to preach the gospel, and he brought it to remembrance. They're saying, Jesus, you're not here. We're not going to be able to say, Jesus, how do we do this? They're thinking, we're not going to be able to do that. And he says, no, the Holy Spirit's going to be inside of you. He heard everything I said. And he can teach it to you. And it'll be just fine. Next, what does the Holy Spirit do? He'll help you win souls. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you in the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 8. But when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. You got it? The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to remind you of everything. He's going to teach you things. He's going to help you win souls. He's going to help you do this work, guys. You can just keep on going, because I'll still be with you in the Holy Spirit. Let not your heart be troubled. The Holy Spirit is coming. Boy, isn't it good? I think so many Christians miss out on appreciating having the Holy Spirit inside of them. I think so many Christians don't know how good they got it. They didn't even realize they got God living in them. Isn't that wonderful? And everything you need to do, everything that the devil can put in front of you, everything you need to live in life, anybody you need to influence, you can go with confidence because the Holy Spirit is in you. And he will help you because he wants it done worse than you. He wants him saved worse than you. He wants a life changed worse than you. He wants to make a difference worse than you. He wants to make you victorious. He wants these things. The Bible says, a spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy. He has this incredible desire. I can't even preach the whole verse right now. But he has this incredible passion for you and to use you. So understand, Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the Spirit. And he'll be in you, and he'll be just fine. You will be just fine because you have the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful person he is. How little knowledge the average Christian really has about the doctrine of the Spirit, Father. And as we just focus in this one corner of this doctrine with the indwelling and what he'll do in John 14, Lord, we've got to understand that we are prepared to do every good work if we'll just let the Spirit flow. If we'll just go and ask for the power of the Spirit, he'll go with us. That we can go and do some great things. That we don't need to worry about whether we know enough or whether we're smart enough to understand the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't need to worry about whether we can do your work. We have the Holy Spirit. Lord, our hearts don't need to be troubled because we have the peace of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Help us to enjoy the blessing, to know this person that dwells in us, not to quench him, not to grieve him, but just to go forth full of the Holy Spirit doing great things for you and making a difference through his power. We We prayed, help us in these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.